As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3. This is a question which should cause some searching of heart, and it will do amongst all who have the mercy to be sinners born again. And if it could be the will of God, it could be possible to cause some searching of heart amongst some who are not yet born again. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now, in approaching the subject, I would look first of all at the setting of it. And remember, this word dropped from the lips of God. Amos was inspired of God to record it. But the context tells us, hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you. Margin reading, I will visit upon you for all your iniquities. And then God lays the foundation of the where and wherefore of his dealings with Israel. Can two walk together except they be agreed? But though God said, if you, as you have been doing for long years, walk in disagreement with me and my word, what can you expect but that I shall visit upon you for your departures from me and my truth? The heading of the page is very solemn. Necessity. Mark that word, necessity of God's judgments upon Israel. There is necessity for God's judgments to be poured out, not only against Israel, as they were poured out long ago, but nowadays it can be and will be against England as a nation, for there is necessity for it. The word of God still holds good. Can two walk together? God for long years has been England's God and done wondrous things for England as a nation, made us long years ago to be an empire on which the sun never set. But alas, there is a different picture to behold nowadays in looking upon England as a nation. And what was said concerning Israel of old has been fulfilled to Israel, and has been fulfilled too in the judgments of God against England as a nation. There is a striking word in the Old Testament regarding Israel's behavior, and God makes it very plain, if you walk as a people in agreement with me as Israel's God, then I will make you in the world at large to be the head and not the tail. But if it should be otherwise, and you should walk in disagreement with me, then you will become the tail and not the head. And that has been worked out, dear friends, in regard to England as a nation. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And in approaching the subject, it is very striking that Amos the prophet was raised up from among the herdmen of Tekoa, and the word of the Lord was lodged in his breast, and he was enabled to go forth and proclaim it. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Go back to this heading, necessity of God's judgment against Israel. Necessity. What does that mean when it is viewed aright? God will deal with everyone on the basis of what their behavior has been. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Regarding the judgments of God against Israel, it was to be observed that while they were in the wilderness, they fell a prey to idolatry and actually sought to worship the molten calf. And when at length they were instated in the land of promise, after a while the same evil was made manifest, and they learned the ways of the heathen amongst whom they lived, instead of casting them out, as the word of the Lord was. The psalmist tells us they mingled with the heathen and learned their works. And so the judgments of God came upon them because they reaped in accordance with the seed which they had sown. And as it was in Israel's day, so it still is in the days in which you and I are living. And now that is just a background, a dark background of our subject, and I want to look at it from one or two viewpoints. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I should judge in the world as it is to be viewed nowadays, there was never to be seen so much disagreement among men and among nations. And although there are some men whom we would regard as statesmen with good intentions to their fellow creatures, and they have their commissions, and they gather together the so-called United Nations thinking to do this and that, but you see, all that they attempt to do is bound to fail because they leave God out of it. Or they do not walk with God in what they purpose to do, do not even seek his blessing as they assemble. Can two walk together except they be agreed? and going back to England as a nation. It is as though God says to England as a nation, seeing that you no longer regard me and the word of my grace, you deny its divine authority, and regarding my son, you say as to the majority of you, we will not have this man to reign over us. Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thee or thy truth. And seeing you break my Sabbath day, no longer regard it. And seeing my house wherein I should be worshipped is forsaken by you, and seeing that you love pleasure much more than you are lovers of me and mine, I ask you, can two walk together except they be agreed? You do not agree with me and what is laid down in my word as to how you should live in England as a nation. Therefore, I must punish you. There is necessity for my judgments to be poured out upon you. And now this is very solemn to contemplate. I wish it could be possible that you could realize the solemnity of it, and every one of you be found amongst that number of which the word of God says, set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for the iniquities done in the land. For all who have that wondrous mark of distinguishing grace stamped upon their lips and lives, as it were, they will realize the blessing of the Lord, and they will find a shelter in the time of storm when the judgments of God are poured out in an amazing fullness, as they must be, as they will be. Do remember that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And God still proclaims in his word, only acknowledge your iniquity. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Much might be said under that heading, but there are one or two more instances which I would look at before I open up the subject as my mind runs. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now, how good it is when young people setting out in life together, beginning in a home of their own, can walk in agreement with God in how they begin to do it. Have in their coming together to journey on through life as companions until they die, in the beginning God. Remembering, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. There are some beautiful pictures of home life where husband and wife walk together in agreement with God, where the great concern is Christ is the head of this house, where the things of God are entered into, where the blessing of God is sought in everyday life, and a great concern to have first things first. Oh, it is good to walk together like that, joined to each other, but realizing more still, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It is a good life to live. And I do rejoice that many of us have known what it is to live such a life. And you must remember how it came about that you were brought together to live such a life and dwell under your own home roof and find the Son of Peace to dwell there too. Who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou dost not receive? And you, dear young people who have been born in the homes of the godly, oh, that you might realize the mercy made known to you, inasmuch as such a privilege has been afforded you. And whatever you do, do not turn your backs on that godly home life that you have known in your bringing up, and think that when you can do as you like, think you're of age to do it, oh, do not turn your backs on how you were brought up, but remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And do remember this: can two walk together except they be agreed? Those who love you, those who have prayed for you ever since you were born, are concerned that you should, as grace is given, walk in agreement with God. Or they want God to come into your life. Do you want God to come into it? You might think about it. It may be some things you hear you wish they were not said. Maybe there are some things in the Word of God you read and you wish they were not there. And why? Oh, because you are not in agreement with God, but you are just living as you were born, and you are content to live like that. Therefore, you have it in your hearts to wish that God could be otherwise than who he is, but he will be the God that he is. And God in the Scriptures, to reveal his will, has condescended what he has said there, he'll fulfill, though man shall be offended. Do remember that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now when you can walk together in setting up in home life and desire the blessing of God on you coming together, and desire that God should be first in your home life, oh, that is commendable. The Lord bless you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There is just another viewpoint of this subject which I must touch on. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now, sometimes godly men, mark the wording, godly men in business life may be tempted to make unequal alliances with the world because of some advantage which they may gain in doing so. A godly man in business may be tempted because of some LST benefit to take a worldly man in partnership and think to still carry on his business on a godly plan, but you will not be able to do it. This word will look at you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? A godly man can only run his business on how the Word of God lays it down. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I've sometimes reminded you of godly Jehoshaphat, who made an alliance with God bless Ahaziah, Israel's king, to build a navy to get gold. You see, it was LSD that was the aim, worldly wealth. But although the ships were built, the word of God tells us the ships of Jehoshaphat were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. And do you know, I have known in my long ministerial life more than one godly man in business who was fallen a prey and made such an unequal alliance, he was found in his life an Ezion-Geber, and his projects were crossed, his plans were thwarted, and he had to come back and walk together with God and confess his guiltiness in seeking to walk otherwise. Can two walk together except they be agreed? All you need as a godly man in business is to have God for your partner. And if you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, your business will go well. However much you may be tempted and tried in running it, in the ultimate issue, you will find the blessing of the Lord will rest upon you. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. And now let us come to the subject itself. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The great thing is for God and man to walk together and be one with each other. It can only be nowadays, as a miracle of grace is wrought to bring about such an amazing privilege. But there was a time when God and man did walk together. For how long, no preacher can tell you. One must not speculate. But when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and Eden's garden was formed, and Adam and Eve were placed therein, they came from their Creator's hands as perfect creatures, as I have told you many a time, and the subject of a free will. Man, as he came from his Creator's hands, was a perfect creature, and Eve likewise. And they were in Eden's garden with a capacity to enjoy all that God had placed therein for them, to realize happiness in the fullness of it as his creatures. And God came down in the garden. It seems very difficult to understand it, but there was a way in which God was pleased to do it and manifest himself, although he is the majesty of heaven, and he walked in the garden and he talked with Adam and Eve, and they walked together in agreement. But when Adam and Eve were created, they were created under a law. You can do this, but you must not do that. And that you must not do that proved their downfall, because they had a free will. And Satan was found in the garden, and he gained a conquest over Eve. Sin entered into the world. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the outcome of it was that God and man could no longer walk in agreement. The Adam fall had taken place. And the Lord God drove out the man and the woman from Eden's garden, placed the angel with a fiery flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way that led to the tree of life. But there is one thing I want you to especially remember, you dear young people too. Although the Adam fall took place like it did, and Adam and Eve could no longer walk in agreement with God, they still remained under the law, and though they had lost their capacity to obey it, God still commanded it to be kept in every jot and tittle. Although, by the Adam fall, Adam and Eve had lost the ability to do it. And now that is where the Adam fall, a right understanding of it, is so essential. And why salvation, if it is known, can only be known as salvation is of the Lord. So that if God and man are to walk together again in agreement, something has got to be done, and man can do nothing at all, not one jot or tittle, in regard to what must indeed be done. God alone can do it. And God in his infinite condescension was pleased to do it. The Adam fall made a tremendous breach between God and man. And Joseph Hart tells us, for this there must be one who can from sin and death release us, make up the breach twixt God and man, which none can do but Jesus. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Jesus Christ came down into this world and was seen among men, verily man, verily God. And he did love's redeeming work. He died his meritorious death. He rose from the dead, triumphant over sin and death and hell. He ascended up on high. And what is he doing there? There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ is there to enable man to walk again in agreement with God, with whom he has to do. Blessed be God that it is made possible. And if you are given that religion that God is the author of, then you will be able to do what the Word of God says, and do not walk with God. And it says Noah walked with God, and you will be helped from time to time to especially feel the pleasure and privilege of it, to walk together with God. It is a great, it is a beautiful, it is a blessed experience to do it. Walk with God and walk in agreement with him. And now when a sinner is born again, he realizes that he is not in agreement with God as he was born. But when he is born again, and when he is brought before God's holy law, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin, the Word of God declares. And the sinner finds out what the Adam fall has done. The law says to that sinner, do this, do not do that. And a sinner is in earnest about his soul's eternal welfare, and he seeks to heed the law's demands, and he reforms his life. He seeks to be better and do better, but he finds, although the law keeps thundering, pay me that which thou owest, that he cannot produce one stitch of the righteousness which the law demands. I told you often, righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking no fairness of rejection, but the sinner cannot produce it. And now, here you begin to walk in agreement with God. The law saith, do listen, cursed is the man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And that takes hold of a sinner being brought in guilty before God, being convinced by the Spirit of God, and stripped of all his fancied meekness to approach the dread I am. And he agrees with God in what the law declares. He accepts the punishment of his iniquity. And he says with the psalmist, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And there before Sinai's mount, he walks in agreement with God in what his holy law declares. But the Spirit of God will not leave that poor sinner like that, because he will lead him from Sinai's mount and bring him before Calvary's cross. And there he will show him how it is possible for the poor sinner, lost, ruined, undone in the Adam fall, and not able to produce the righteousness which the law demands, can be made righteous and walk in agreement with God, as the Lord is righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. He shows that sinner Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one which believeth. Christ, when he came into the world, came into the world as the word of God declares. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And as verily man, Jesus Christ kept that law in all its demands, in every jot and tittle. And in doing that, he brought God and man together again on friendly terms, for he wrought out a righteousness for poor sinners who were made solemnly aware that they have none of their own wherein to appear before God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now that means that when a sinner is being led into the truth, a sinner born again, that he walks together with God in what the word of God declares. And the sinner is glad to do it, because the terms laid down in the word of God are very acceptable as to how a sinner is to be fitted for the skies. Or he walks in agreement with this great declaration, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he is glad to sing, if ever my poor soul is saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. He walks together with God on the basis as to how sinners can be saved with an everlasting salvation. And he solemnly confesses, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Much might be said along that line of thought, but I want to look at the subject from another viewpoint regarding this walking together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now it might be, as you journey through life, you can look back over life's journey, some of you, and search into it. And as you journey through life, you have had things come upon you that you looked not for. Trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud. And at their onset, you may have been hard put to it to see the why and the wherefore of it. And it might be what you are by nature has been very much churned up. And it may be you have said with Jacob, all these things are against me. And you could not feel in your heart an agreement with God that such a trouble, owing to what its nature was, should come on you or yours. You were ready to say, not so, my father. You could not agree with God at the time when it came. And now, if you are indeed a sinner born again, you can also remember how God brought you to acquiesce in his dealings with you, made you to be like clay in the potter's hand, how he enabled you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God in his dealings with you, and enabled you to say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. It is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. It is a wonderful thing when you can walk with God and accept the cross that he ordains for you to bear. When you can feel, did you ever feel it? 'Tis my happiness below, not to live without the cross, but the Saviour's power to know, sanctifying every loss. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Or it is good in times of trial, whatever their nature, to walk together with God therein, for therein you learn, it is enough for thee disciple that he be as his Lord. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Then there is a way where God and man walk together in a sweet, blessed companionship. Godly John said, truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What an amazing privilege that is. There is a beautiful setting forth of it in those disciples going along the Emmaus Road. As they reasoned together about the things which had happened, they could come to no comforting conclusion in their minds. But Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What a wonderful walk that was for those disciples. And how amazing that he who is the light of the world should have lighted up his own holy scriptures and enlightened their understandings so that they could walk with God, walk with him who is God incarnate, as he unfolded the written word of which he is the blessed Son and substance. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? If you walk with God and walk in agreement with him, you will find it very blessed at times as he opens up the scriptures to you, and he will open up to you your own interest therein, and you will say with Jeremiah, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Then, in walking together with God at times, you will go through floods and through fires, and yet feel within a divine aid communicated, so that you do not fear to go on in the way that God has ordained. You will have that feeling, whatever thy sacred will ordains Oh, give me strength to bear. Let me know my Father reigns and trust his tender care. You walk in agreement with God. And then it might be, sometimes, you come to spots and places in life's journey when you have to rearrange your life, or at least they are rearranged for you. It may be a door in the providence of God is shut. And as it is shut, you desire another to be opened. And then, as you wait on God, you find, step by step as you go on, the way will open up before you. And as you leave the issue with God, and you must do that if you are to walk in agreement with God in his dealings with you, supplication it must be, as you commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and wait on him to bring to pass what is his will concerning you. I say it must be supplication, not dictation, not suggesting to the Lord there is a way that you can see if he will only give you permission to go along it. No, you must walk in agreement with God, and that means this: thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. Choose thou with thine own hand, O choose my way for me. And you desire grace to walk in it, however hard to be understood his dealings may seem to be. To walk in conformity with the will of God, can two walk together except they be agreed? What do you and I know about it? As I come to the amen, there is a walking together with God when you are helped to commune with him, like the woman in the gospel when she fell down at Jesus' feet and told him all the truth. And sometimes you get sweet liberty to do that in your approaches unto God, and you can say with Asaph, it is good for me to draw near unto God. A little talk with Jesus, how it smooths life's rugged road, how it cheers and helps me onward when I faint beneath my load. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, it is a great thing. Let it be the chief thing for us as we journey on, to be agreed with God as we live out our lives to their allotted span. Walk with God. Oh, the privilege of it, oh, the pleasure of it, oh, the necessity for it. Whom do you walk with in your everyday lives? Do you walk with the world and a worldly? In your everyday life, can a worldling discern any difference between you and what they are and what they do? Do you walk with the world? And can you walk with all who have a name to live? Whether they have been either sprinkled, baptized, or confirmed, it matters not. Can you walk with all folk who profess to be religious? No, not if you walk together with God. You have to get down to bedrock truth and walk with God according to what the Word of God lays down as to what it is to be a real Christian. The living cannot walk with the dead and those who have just a form of godliness and no power. You want reality. You want the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Whom do you walk with? Do you walk with those people of whom God has said, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people? When you get in touch with them, hear them tell out how they feel, the dealings of God with their souls, What are their exercises unto godliness? Do you feel as in water face answereth unto face? So doth the heart of man to man. And you can walk with them because you feel to be one with them and desire to be so, living and dying. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And now, what is the happy issue of walking with God? If you and I are helped to do it, it brings us into one scripture which otherwise is very, very difficult to realize what it means. Be ye reconciled to God. And now, that word is recorded in the Epistle to the Corinthians. And it is not just a word that some well-meaning evangelist is to take at a street corner and think he can convert all and sundry round about as he sets forth his thoughts upon it. No, it was addressed to people with names on church rolls, dear friends, people already born again. It is addressed to quite a few of you. Be ye reconciled to God. And it means, be ye reconciled to living your life inside the covers of the Holy Bible, book divine, to the pattern God has lined out as to how the life of the righteous must be lived. Be ye reconciled to God. If there comes upon you and yours things that the flesh dislikes, and that is inevitable, it is for you to seek to be reconciled to God in what he declares, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God, and to humble yourself under his mighty hand in all his dealings with you, and seek to live like this, and to get grace to help in the time of need, which it will be, to do it. Lord, I would indeed submit, gladly yield my all to thee. What thy wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for me. To be reconciled to God in whatever comes upon you or yours, and to feel that this is the will of God, your sanctification, and that you should be helped to live like this, this prayer and this ambition mine, living and dying to be thine. Oh, that God would work amongst us in our cause of truth and help us only have the mercy to be born again, to walk more together with God, that we might show the world at large more manifestly whose we are and whom we serve, to hold up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow, go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what we know. Amen.